All right. We have been doing a study on the I Am statements of Jesus. And today we're going to look at the I Am, the bread of life, which is very appropriate and fitting for our celebration of communion today. And so if you will turn in your Bibles to John chapter 6. Let's look at John chapter 6. We will start reading at verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." When they asked him, What must we do to do the works of God requires? Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" "Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." At this, the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who listens to God the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your holy word. We thank you that you, Lord, speak with the same authority today as you did when this word was written many years ago by the Apostle John, the words that you gave him to write. We thank you, Father, that we can gather here today to listen to you and pray that you will Fill our hearts, O Lord, with your Spirit, that you will open our hearts to receive the word that you have for us in this day, that you will be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Andy Rooney. Does that name ring a bell to anybody? How many of you know who Andy Rooney is? Andy Rooney, okay. That's right, the late Andy Rooney. He was a journalist who always, at the end of the show segment on CBS, 60 Minutes, often he would give satire on trivial issues, and one time he said, two of the biggest bestsellers in bookstores are the cookbooks and the diet books. The cookbooks tell you how to prepare the food, and the diet books tell you how not to eat it. A California scientist, here's an interesting illustration, something I learned as I prepared for this message. A California scientist computed that the average human being eats 16 times his or her own weight in an average year, while a horse eats only 8 times its weight. So if you stop to think about it, it only goes to prove that if you really want to lose weight, you should eat like a horse, right? We live in the one of the most diet-crazed and, might I say, guilt-conscious societies that ever existed. People like to shame you for what you eat, and so we get all these diets, right? Atkins and keto and paleo and South Beach and Slim Fast and Makers and Weight Watchers, and the one I like best is seafood. That's my favorite diet. I see food and I eat it. In one way or another, many of us are obsessed with food, earthly food, and some of us become so fanatical and so disciplined when it comes to the kind of food that we eat, so much to the point that we can't even enjoy the food that we're eating anymore. And as I think about that discipline that we put towards that, I wonder sometimes how many of us are just as fanatical and disciplined when it comes to spiritual food. Just imagine what a difference it would make in our lives if we were equally obsessed with heavenly food, the food that Christ Jesus gives us. Jesus said to those who followed him in this passage of Scripture, he says three times in verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Then again in verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. And in verse 51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, and he will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. If you'll look back a few verses at the beginning of this chapter and just before that, the occasion for this particular great claim that Jesus makes about being the bread of life was a community meal on the sunny seaside slopes above Galilee after long days teaching and questioning. And so Christ's simple compassion for the crowd's natural hunger and perhaps a wish to illustrate divine providence and personal, just being real compassionate and personal with them, led to the feeding of the 5,000 people that we read, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. It was a very fitting and grateful way to close a very memorable day. But it was more than that. John, the crowds, and Jesus himself all set this communal meal in the context of the Exodus story, where they received manna from heaven and water from the rock. The season was Passover, and the provision was miraculous. And so this was sufficient enough for them to make a comparison with that ancient story in verse 30, where in the reading that we did this morning, they talk about that, comparing that with the ancient story. Moreover, some people expected that the Messiah, when he came, would repeat this manna miracle. And no wonder the people began then to make comparisons when they experienced this miraculous feeding of the 5,000. Yet this only revealed a shallowness in their hope and their understanding, God does indeed supply the need and the hunger of his people physically. He supplies those needs every day for his people, even in his pilgrim people in the wilderness journey. But there is a deeper hunger, the bread that does not spoil. And the manna in the wilderness met only the physical needs. Jesus, the Son of the living God, offers bread for the life of the soul. And of this nourishment, for its eternal craving in all of us, the feeding of the 5,000 was only but an eloquent sign. Christ is himself the spiritual banquet that Moses could not offer to the people in the wilderness. And notice the reaction of the Jews in verse 41. Who denied his deity. Jesus said God was his father. And they said, no, Joseph was his father. And so they began to grumble. Kind of reminds you of the grumbling that happened in the wilderness journey of the Israelites. They grumbled also. They grumbled. Even when God sent them manna, they still grumbled. And so they're grumbling here also. And they denied his deity. Warren Wiersbe in his commentary says it's interesting to compare the manna to Jesus Christ. Manna came from heaven at night, he said. Christ came from heaven when men were in darkness. Manna fell on the dew. Christ came born of the Spirit of God. Manna was not defiled by the earth. Christ was sinless, separate from sinners. Manna was small, round, and white, suggesting his humility, eternal nature, and purity. Manna was sweet to the taste, he said. Christ is sweet to those who trust him. Manna had to be taken and eaten. Christ must be received and appropriated by faith. Manna came as a free gift. Christ is the free gift of God to the world of sinners. There was sufficient manna for all. Christ is sufficient for all. If you did not pick up the manna, you walked on it. If you do not receive Christ, you reject him. You walk on him. Manna was wilderness food, says Wiersbe. Christ is our food in this pilgrim journey to heaven. So what bread is to hunger, Jesus claims to be for the soul. People around the world eat bread as a staple food to satisfy physical hunger and to sustain physical life. And you know what? That's really what the people in this story were looking for. They weren't looking for Jesus so they could listen to his wonderful teachings and his lessons. Well, maybe some of them were. But for the most part, the crowd that day followed Jesus for another miracle of loaves and fishes. They were following Jesus for the wrong reason. And Jesus says that in verse 26. He says, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. They came with the wrong kind of hunger. And you know, as I stop to think about that, that kind of hunger, my friends, is still around today, 21 centuries later. It's like the cartoon where this guy is sitting on the couch watching TV and says to his friend, we've got 400 channels and I'm no happier than the old days when we got 200. And as his friend walks away, he says, something is wrong. The guy on the couch replies, I'll say, maybe if we had 600 channels, things would be so much better. And that's sort of the way it is in the world. If it's not more television channels, it's something else. A bigger and better car or truck or houses or wardrobes or computers or laptops or cell phones. And it's not just any cell phone. You need to have an Apple iPhone. And it's not just an Apple iPhone. You need to have the latest and the greatest Apple iPhone 10. Or you need a Samsung Galaxy or a Google Pixel or some other smartphone. And you also need an Alexa in your home, right? Or a Google Home. You need that. You got to talk to them, right? I have one in my house, my apartment. I have an Alexa. I talk to her. She talks back to me, so. Or you need a Sony PlayStation or a Nintendo Wii or a Galaxy or some other tablet. You name it. It seems that whatever we have isn't enough. What we really need is one that's bigger and faster and newer and better and more expensive and trendier, whatever. There's a hunger within us. And whatever it is that we have, we do not have enough. You see it in all aspects of life. People's jobs, right? People go searching for bigger and better jobs or material things in life, like I've mentioned. Or even in relationships, sometimes we see that happen. People think that there's something better out there for me, and so they go looking in the wrong places. We have more than any other generation in history, but we are just not satisfied. And the problem is that we go looking for satisfaction in the wrong places. And that's what was wrong with the crowds that day who came seeking Jesus for more bread. They were looking for another miracle to fill their stomachs. And when they asked for bread, listen to what Jesus said in verse 35. He says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." We can satisfy spiritual hunger and sustain spiritual life only by a right relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Real life is the new relationship that we have with God, that relationship of trust and obedience and love. Only Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, makes that relationship possible. And apart from him, apart from Jesus, no one can enter into it. Without Jesus, there may be existence, but there's not life. You can exist, but you really don't have life if you don't have Jesus. I like this illustration from William Barclay's commentary. He says, picture a bookcase, and in this bookcase is a book which a person has never read. I had lots of those bookcases where there were a lot of books that weren't read. He says, it may be the glory and the wonder of the tragedies of Shakespeare or whatever. So long as it remains unread on that bookshelf, it is external for him. So one day he decides to read it. He becomes thrilled and fascinated and moved. The story sticks to him, and great lines remain in his memory. Now when he wants to, says Barclay, he can take that wonder out from inside himself and remember it and think about it, and in a sense, feed his heart and mind upon it. Once the book was outside him, now it's inside him. And it's that way with anything in life, he says. It remains external until we take it within ourselves. And I believe the same thing happens in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So long as he remains a figure in a book, the Bible, he is external to us. Only when he enters into our hearts and we receive him as our personal Savior and Lord can we feed upon the life and the strength and the dynamic vitality which his life gives to us. And therefore, if Jesus is the essential of life, he may be described as the bread of life, as he does here. The hunger and thirst of our souls, my friends, at the innermost depths of our lives is ended and satisfied only when we know Jesus. The restless soul is at rest, the hungry heart is satisfied once we have that personal relationship with Jesus, once he lives within our hearts. The bread of life is ours for the taking. It's free by God's grace. God offers it to each and every one of us freely by his grace. And if you ever think about that word grace, the word grace means God's riches at Christ's expense. Okay, it's a free gift that God gives us. And the invitation is for you and for me. Christ must be invited into our daily walk to sustain spiritual life. We need to read the Bible. We need to focus on the Lord Jesus Christ every day. We must do that daily as individuals to sustain spiritual life in our walk with him. And we must do that as a church also, so that we become internally strong. And as we deepen our relationship with God, the only way we can deepen our relationship with God is by reading his word and meditating upon him and praying to him and praying together and gathering in small groups so we can get to know more about Jesus and deepen that relationship with him and become internally strong, which I believe is also one of the goals of the Hainani, is that how I say it? Team, right? So that we become internally strong and have a deeper relationship with Jesus. And once God has fed our souls and we have that deeper relationship with Him, once God has fed our souls with the bread of life, we need to get out of the bakery and into the delivery truck, in a sense, to distribute that bread. We need to share Jesus with a lost world, with a world of brokenness, with a world that desperately needs Jesus. We need to be Jesus in the communities in which we live. We need to serve other people. We need to let them know about Jesus, like we've been doing this last month with Village House. Just being a presence here, you know how much that's been appreciated by the ladies who've come through those doors every day to be here. How much St. Timothy's appreciates us doing this together, just being a presence of Jesus in this community, being externally focused. It's also part of what the Heinani team is praying for, to be externally focused, to be internally strong, but also to be externally focused. It's not just about us, it's also about what's out there, how we can become externally focused more and more and reach the community which God has given to us. When you come to the Lord's table this morning, remember that when we partake of the sacrament, we eat bread and drink juice that symbolizes the presence of Jesus, the very bread of life with us. The bread of life is freedom from the distresses of life. Jesus is the nourishment for those wilderness journeys of life. He is the grace in the pain of life. He is God's presence in the loneliness of life. As the bread of life, He is the rest for the demands of life. He is the peace in the disruptions of life. He is community in the isolation of life. He is security in the uncertainty of life. He is the bread that nourishes our souls. It is the bread of life, our Lord Jesus Christ, the only diet that can feed our starving spirits and fill our empty insides, is a diet that consists only of the bread of life, the food that endures for eternal life. As he says in verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And as we prepare to celebrate communion, let's remember the manna. Let's remember the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes. And most of all, let's remember the Messiah, who alone is the bread of life. This morning, I invite you to come and feast upon the bread of life. May it fill the hungering in your soul. Jesus said in verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Remember these words as we take communion today, and when we take the bread and drink the juice, we are partaking of Jesus Christ. We're saying, yes, I believe you are the bread of life. I believe you are the nourishment that gives me eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Father, thank you so much.